Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Verses 1 through 16, Hebrews chapter 11. Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for the wonderful gift of your word. Thank you for the privilege we have of being able to open your word daily and spend time with you one-on-one as you speak words of wisdom, life, grace, blessing, and empowerment. With every passing day, more and more help us to fall in love more so with you and your word, and empower us to be a people that listen to your word and your spirit continually and live and move in the spirit and in the word all the time. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
God, we love you today and we praise you. We lift high your name. And Father, we can place our faith in you. We can, even though there are things that we scratch our head about or pull our hair out, we do have faith in you based on your work in our hearts. And we do trust you. We lean on you. We depend on you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. In His Image is a documentary film that was produced by American Family Studios. It's a feature-length documentary that presents much-needed truth with compassion and clarity through powerful personal testimonies, careful Bible teaching, and scientific evidence. It's a critical and urgent message designed to help equip the church to answer culturally controversial questions about gender and sexuality from a biblical perspective. We've gotten tremendous response and many people have watched already. We're encouraging you, if you haven't already, take time to go watch In His Image for free. Go to inhisimage.movie. Again, go to inhisimage.movie and you can watch it. And remember, lots of churches in America are filled with hurting people that ask some difficult questions related to this issue. Can you be gay and a Christian? What if someone feels trapped in the wrong body? Did God make them that way? Is change even possible? Well, again, the Word of God is the answer to everything and every issue, including this one. Hope you'll take time to go to watch inhisimage.movie. And then once you've watched it, share it with others, forward it to others so that they too can watch this powerful documentary. We'd like to invite you, if you're in the area or able to come and be with us, we have coming up a Festival for Life event that's going to happen this Wednesday, November 4th at 7 p.m. in Durant, Mississippi. The host church is Word of Righteousness Christian Center International. The pastor is Pastor Cornelius Landfair. If you can come to be with us at 15005 South Jackson Street in Durant, Mississippi, this Wednesday at 7, we hope that you'll be there. A Festival for Life is a multimedia event that uses movie clips, music videos, and movie trailers to help share a biblical message about the need for the church to do two things. One, to aggressively come alongside and support the great work of local pregnancy centers, and also the need for the church to aggressively get involved with standing for life and against abortion and helping to end the tragedy of abortion. Hope you can come and be with us this Wednesday at 7 p.m. We're honored for the third time, part three, of having author Rhett Barbary with us, the author of the book, The George Washington Carver Effect, More Than Peanuts. And there goes Pete. Pete's excited. He's glad to hear once again about the things that Rhett Barbary has written about in his books. Again, the title is The George Washington Carver Effect, More Than Peanuts. And thank God for the boll weevil. Rhett, how are you this time?
I am great, and I'm honored to be on your show again. I had a great time the first two times. They say third time's a charm, right?
All right. Well, we're looking forward to you sharing more of the more is just lots of insight that you shared, insight about biblical truths that relate to the state of Alabama and things God is doing as well. So, if you'll just take a moment now, just to kind of reintroduce yourself and just summarize the books before we get into the specific part of the book we'll be dealing with today.
Okay. Once again, my name is Rhett Barbary. I live in Clanton, Alabama, which is in the middle of the state between Birmingham and Montgomery. I'm married. I have a wife, Amy, for 19 years. I have a son, Dyson, who's 18, and a daughter, Macy, who's 15. And then we also have a younger cousin, Kylie, who's 13, that lives with us. Two dogs and two cats and two chickens. So.
Well, again, Pete's glad to hear about the dogs, especially so. All right. And so you've written two books. The first one, The George Washington Carver Effect, Much More Than Peanuts, and right. Also the book, Thank God for Boll Weevils. Now, have I inverted the order when you wrote them?
Well, I wrote Thank God for Boll Weevils. It was published in 2012, but it was around that time, even before that, that the Lord had given me a prophetic word about the story, particularly about George Washington Carver, who I was, of course, going to write into the book, Thank God for Boll Weevils. And along with the word, there was a little bit of confusion on my part in understanding. And in 2018, the Lord clarified that to me, message that he wanted me to share, which I'll go back over that real briefly, what the Lord told me in 2008. When I was contemplating how I was going to write George Washington Carver into my first novel, I heard the Lord tell me very clearly, he said, this story will have an effect on the economy of the United States. And my response was, it was one of confusion. I said, Lord, how will growing peanuts have an effect on our economy in this day and time? I said, even the South is much more industrialized than it used to be. And he didn't say another word to me about that for 10 years. And 2018, I was rereading that section in the book about what happened with Carver and the peanuts. And Carver would get up early every morning before daybreak, and he would go for a walk, usually in the woods. And that's when he would have his quiet time, and he would pray. And one of those mornings in 1915, he asked the Lord, because he knew the boll weevil had invaded, came across from Mexico into Texas. It was devouring the cotton, which was the most important crop to the farmers in the South. And so he knew the farmers were in trouble. And you got to understand that when you say farmers, you're basically talking about the economy back then. They were the economy throughout the South. Mm-hmm. And but what the Lord told me was, he said, it's not about growing peanuts. It's about prayer. That was in 2018. And along with that, he gave me some prophetic impressions And one of those was that the reason why he hadn't said anything to me for 10 years is because there were certain things he needed to get put into place. And one of those things was President Trump. Mm-hmm. And I understood, as little as I know about economics, I know that we believe in the free enterprise system, capitalism, and then also that I understood that through those impressions that President Trump didn't owe anybody any favors, mm-hmm. which is great. And he has his own agenda. He understands business and banking and the treasury. He knows the insides and the outsides to all of those financial things about our country. And he could clearly see where they needed to be fixed. Mm-hmm. So I wrote down those impressions. And I didn't know who to share them with or what to do with them. So they basically sat on my computer for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then I heard about the Great Awakening starting right here in Alabama. And mm-hmm. I was real intrigued with that because that was new to me. And it was shared to me by a cousin. And there was a guy. And just jump in here anytime, Pastor Joseph, that we need to take a break or you need to ask a question.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
But it was Kent Maddox and a team that had been formed out of Oxford, Alabama, called All In 2020. Mm-hmm. And Kent Maddox and his team were going to every county in Alabama. They were meeting with the mayors, city council, county commissioners. They were praying over them. Mm-hmm. And then they were having a church service in all 67 counties in Alabama.
Now, Kent Maddox, he is a pastor in Alabama?
Right. He's a pastor in Alabama. Mm-hmm. And his associate, him and Matt Hobson, they would, take turns going to different counties and so forth. Well, I went to two of those meetings. And I just knew during this time that it had something to do with what the Lord had shown me mm-hmm. About the economy. But to me, when you say the word economy and you say the Great Awakening, it was like looking at two different pictures. It was looking like a bicycle and a fish mm-hmm. and wondering what they had to do with each other. Mm-hmm. So there was a time there where, I was coming before the Lord and asking him to give me revelation. Mm-hmm. And he began to give me revelation. And I think that Lance Wallnau is the one that really just hit the nail on the head for me. What Lance Wallnau said, the most important thing that we can pray for is our economy. He said it's the life source of influence to the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And he said, if our economy goes down, we go down. Mm-hmm. And he said, if that happens, people begin to scream and yell for socialism and totalitarianism. And he said, if that happens, he said, the church in America will go into the darkest place it's ever been before and find itself ineffective in the duties that the Lord has, for the church to do, which is to spread the gospel mm-hmm. and to permeate God's DNA, like the true ecclesia, where God's DNA is permeated through our entire society. Mm-hmm. And so it was so amazing to me as, the Lord tasked me with something to do. Mm-hmm. And it was above my head. It really was above my head in understanding. But every time I would stop, and that was, I had to stop. I could barely get a paragraph out many times. And I remember distinctly driving to a nearby park, sitting and praying and reading my Bible. And every time the Lord led me to some information that was already out there, or I went back on the notes mm-hmm. that he had previously given me.
Red, I'm going to jump in here. We're coming up on a break, and we're going to pick up on the other side. Our phone guest today is Rhett Barbary. This is part three of a time of interviewing him as he shares about his two books, The George Washington Carver Effect, More Than Peanuts, and Thank God for the Boll Weevil. We'll be right back.
Father, let the world just fade away. Let me feel your presence in this place. Lord, I've never been so weary. How I need to know you're near me. Father, let the world just fade away till I'm on my knees. Till
music of Mark Schultz. He is. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Rhett Barbary. He's the author of The George Washington Carver Effect, More Than Peanuts, and Thank God for the Boll Weevil. And before Rhett comes back, I want to share to every single listener something that I've shared with our author, Rhett, before as well, is that he's the first author I've had the privilege, who's actually written a book about George Washington Carver, I've had the privilege of interviewing. However, on a number of occasions, I've shared about the life of Dr. Carver, and I would challenge every single listener, make it your goal to really do some reading, both reading, obviously, reading Rhett's book. I would encourage you to get his book, and he's going to tell us in just a minute how to get the book, but also learn and listen and just do more study about the prayer life of Dr. George Washington Carver. And the reason why I do challenge you to do that is because it appears he basically imitated Jesus in his lifestyle as a prayer warrior. He'd get up early in the morning, as Rhett mentioned, and he'd go off into the woods and he'd pray and talk to God. And God used him to do exploits in the kingdom of God that have blessed the whole wide world. So learning from his prayer life would be a great goal for every single listener. Again, he was a great man of prayer. Now, obviously, he was a well-known scientist and inventor and professor. But I want to share once again a quote from, this is actually another book about Dr. Carver by Glenn Clark. His book is entitled The Man Who Talks with the Flowers, but this is a quote from Dr. Carver. "There's literally nothing that I ever wanted to do that I asked the blessed Creator to help me to do that I've not been able to accomplish. It's all very simple if one knows how to talk with the Creator. It is simply seeking the Lord and finding Him. All my life, I've risen regularly at 4 o'clock and have gone into the woods and talked with God. There He gives me my orders for the day. When people are still asleep, I hear God best and learn my plan. After my morning's talk with God, I go into my laboratory and begin to carry out His wishes for the day." Again, a great role model to learn from. And of course, our greatest role model, of course, is the Lord Jesus. Mark 1:35 tells us He went off into the woods, to a solitary place, and there He prayed. But we can learn some good things from Dr. Carver as well. Again, our author is Rhett Barbary. Rhett, tell our listeners, if they want to get a copy of the book, The George Washington Carver Effect, how can they do that?
It's available on Amazon, and it can also be ordered through bookstores such as Barnes & Noble.
Okay, then. And just to read once again the full title of both, again, and the two books are actually made into one single book here. The first book is The George Washington Carver Effect, Much More Than Peanuts, A Prophecy. And the second book is Thank God for Boll Weevil. So if you get the book, you'll get two books actually in one, both authored by Rhett Barbary. So Rhett, as we begin this segment, before we get started, I want to ask if you'll specifically pray for listeners, pray for their prayer lives, pray for God to really get a hold of them in a unique way and help them to become the prayer warriors that God is calling each one of us to be, would you?
I certainly will. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the love you have for your creation, Lord, and including us. And you made us special, and you made us with the capabilities to be able to communicate with you. And Father, I pray that each one would learn how to come before you daily, and perhaps like George Washington Carver did early in the morning before the world starts pulling on you. And be able to sit still and quiet and pray. And then also, Lord, to listen to what you have to say to us. You've done this with me, Lord, and whether it's through your voice that I hear, or whether you give me a picture in my imagination that means a lot, or even through a dream. And I just pray, Father, that no one would discount the many ways that you may try to communicate with us. And I ask these things in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rhett. Now, Rhett, near the beginning of your book, you have several subtitles as you basically kind of introduce the book. And I'm just going to briefly kind of run over them, and I'm going to see if we can cover most, if not all of them. But the first one subtitle is Alabama. The second one, God's Destiny for Alabama. And then Gates of the Cities. The next one is entitled The Ground Cries Out with Blood from the Innocent. And then Broken Treaties, Atrocities, and Removal of Indians. Now, I tell you, I'm going to stop there. I won't say all the titles, but you share some insights about the truths behind the book. So let's start with Alabama and share the point behind each subtitle and the topic you deal with.
Okay. Alabama is a Choctaw word, and the meaning of it is to open or close the thicket or thicket clear. And as we know in the Bible, many times that when people were given names or a place was given a name, there was a spiritual meaning behind it. That's so with Alabama, and the reason being is, and let me tell everyone real quick what happened to me. When I was in the third grade, we had a test in elementary school, and we had to write down a definition to the number of words. I can't tell you any other word that was on that test other than Alabama, and then the meaning, which is to open or close the thicket. But for 50 years, that meaning would pop into my head randomly, and I didn't know why, up until all of this began with me writing this book. And then what I had learned was that Dutch Sheets, who is a great teacher and a prophet, he was in Alabama, and he was given this definition because of the Great Awakening. He was prophesizing that the Great Awakening was going to start right here in Alabama, that we were going to open the thicket or clear the thicket for the Holy Spirit to come in and to begin the work and of the Great Awakening, which will eventually spread throughout the entire world. So in that part of the book, that's what that's about. And then the next subtitle is God's Destiny for Alabama. Mm-hmm. It's a very amazing story about Chuck Pierce and his wife, Pam. Pam was, they worked, it was for a youth home, Alabama youth home. Mm-hmm. They had adopted a couple of kids. Pam was not able to get pregnant. Somewhere along the way there, they had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and God told them that he was going to heal Pam and she was going to be able to have children. And in 1988, she became pregnant with twins. And she carried them for 9 months, and then they lost the babies. Hmm. And you can imagine how someone would feel, the Lord telling you were going to be healed from something, and then you were. You get pregnant, you carry twins for 9 months, and then you lose them. Well, in this moment of grief or time of grief for them, they decided the best thing they could do is just give this up to the Lord and see what would happen. And Chuck and Pam begin to travel. They're both very interested in Civil War history, so they would go to battlefields and museums throughout the country. And when they came through Alabama, it was around Anniston, Oxford area, they heard the Lord tell them, "I want you to stop here and stay for 2 days and pray." He said, "This is where I'm going to release a double portion of my spirit in resolution for you losing the twins." So they were obedient. They stayed there for 2 days and prayed, and then they left, not knowing what was going to become of this, what the Lord had told them to do. Later on, Chuck, through a mutual friend that also knew Kent Maddox, a pastor there in the Anniston, Oxford area, introduced those two together, or introduced them. They came together, and they began to do some different things together as far as church functions and that type of thing. Eventually, Chuck realized that Kent was the one that God wanted to be anointed to go to all the gates of the city throughout Alabama. And when I say all the gates of the city, each county, there's 67 counties here in Alabama. And through a lot of prayer and fasting, they understood how they were supposed to do this. Mm-hmm. So this past year, Kent has started traveling, or he's already completed. He and his team, which is called All In Alabama 2020 team, mm-hmm. have gone to all 67 counties in Alabama. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I wanted to mention here, I remember One of the things Chuck did was when before this started, he laid a mantle of anointing on Kent, and God gave him a word to speak over Kent, and the word was, "If you will start the fire, then I will send the wind."
Mm-hmm.
And what happened after that, in about 10 minutes, everybody's phone went off, and it said wind advisory, all 67 counties, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And there were also wildfires that were broken out throughout the state.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did not know Chuck or Kent or any of them at this time, but I remember specifically where I was standing in my house when my phone went off, and I looked down at it, and I said, "Look, honey," talking to my wife, I said, "Wind advisory, all 67 counties, Alabama." Mm-hmm. And what's amazing about that is, why would I pay that much attention? It's one of those things where God was giving me a sign that mm-hmm. was to be used later, that I would know that I was supposed to be involved in all this. That was one of the signs that I got.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also remember, and I like a lot of people these days with their TV, you may not even usually watch much of your local broadcasting, but for some reason that night, I think I turned it on the local news and saw where wildfires had broken out in different parts of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another sign when I came to meet them and then hear this story. So to just recap a little bit, Kent Maddox and his team all in 2020 have traveled to every county in Alabama now, all 67. They've prayed over the leaders in those cities, and then they've had a church service.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I met Kent and his team. I went to two of the different services, and that was another sign for me that I was supposed to be involved. And then I interviewed Kent and his associate, Pastor Matt Hobson,
mm-hmm.
and they began to explain to me what they were doing at the church services and different things like that. One of the ones that you had mentioned, the ground cries out with blood from the innocent.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that the Lord has shown me and of course has showed them is that we need to close up the injustices of the generations that came before us.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that, you know, Alabama is one of the older states in the Union because we spread across and to the west. But it was a time when we were dealing with slavery. Alabama was involved in that. They were pro-slavery. And then even after that, when Lincoln freed the slaves, you know, we were very hostile toward black people, mm-hmm. the generation that came before us.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of illegal lynchings that went on,
mm-hmm.
whether it be through the Ku Klux Klan, the hand of the Ku Klux Klan, or whether it might just be a community that didn't even let the person stand trial, just out of their emotion and anger, they would lynch somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the city officials, the sheriffs or whatever, didn't raise their hand to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So that subtitle, "The Ground Cries Out with Blood from the Innocent," is actually talking about the way that our ancestors had treated the blacks and not giving them fair trials, lynching them. And there's one story in there where I share about George Washington Carver that happened in 1879 when he witnessed the lynching of a black man in Fort Scott, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he was quoted as saying it was one of the most horrifying scenes that he had ever seen. And it put fear in his heart, you know, mm-hmm. And that was in Kansas. So it mm-hmm. wasn't just Alabama.
Right. Rhett, we're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up on the other side there. Our phone guest today is Rhett Barbary, the author of The George Washington Carver Effect, More Than Peanuts, and the Thank God for the Boll Weevil. We'll be right back.
Feeling lonely, this world got a way of showing me. Some days it'll lift you up, some days it'll call you bluff. Man, most of my days I ain't got enough. And all I know is you're my only hope. Shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me when I'm beat down, broken. Hold my heart when it's split wide open. Turn these eyes to my soul protector and break the will of this born defector. Cause all I know is you're my only hope.
Music of Toby Mac, I Just Need You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Rhett Barbary. He's the author of The George Washington Carver Effect, More Than Peanuts, A Prophecy, and Thank God for the Boll Weevil. Rhett, share with our listeners once again, if they want to get a copy, and again, we're challenging and encouraging every listener, please do make it your goal to get a copy of this powerful book that has lots of insight and encouragement in your walk with the Lord. Tell them how they can get the book.
Okay, it's available through Amazon.com, and it can also be ordered through bookstores, including Barnes & Noble.
Okay, then. All right, and of course, these are actually both books in one publication, correct?
Right. That's correct.
All right. Okay, and so continuing to look at the subtitles at the beginning of the book, the prophetic subtitles and issues behind them, you were speaking about the ground cries out with blood. Speak to the one that's entitled Broken Treaties, Atrocities, and Removal of Indians.
Okay. One of the things that that he had talked about was our treatment of the American Indians. And I give... Two examples. One of those that happened in 1836 right here in Alabama. It was the what's considered the Second Creek War. And that started, the uprising started, it was always a matter of greed where the white settlers would encroach on the land that was set aside for the Indians and that were under treaty for the Indians. And this happened, my understanding, in 1836 was in Georgia and in Alabama where white settlers encroached on the land that was supposed to belong to them. There was another Indian uprising. The military came in, and they, you know, there was a not only bloodshed, but by the time it ceased, they had captured 600 warriors, Creek warriors. The story goes, or the history goes, that those warriors were led shackled through the streets of Montgomery with their women and children following behind. They were put on a steamboat. It went down to the Gulf Coast, and then it went up to the, it was going up the Mississippi River where it collided with another steamboat. And my understanding is about 300 of those Creek Indians died. They couldn't swim. They were shackled onto the boat. Mm-hmm. Now they were being carried to the reservation in Oklahoma. Just an atrocity that we allowed to happen, mm-hmm. Where we broke our word to the American Indian. And anybody that watches TVs and movies or read any history, there's time and time again we've broken our word to the American Indians. Mm-hmm. Another example that I give in there is the Black Hills Expedition that Custer had in 1874, where he... was asked by the president, who was Grant, President Grant at the time, to go and scout out the Black Hills to not only to have a build a fort there to trade with the Indians, but also to check out what minerals might be in the area, gold and so forth, because we were, at that time, our country was going through not a depression, but a recession, so to speak. It might have been a depression. Well, he asked him to quietly find those things out and report back to him, but instead, Custer, who really had his eyes set on being president, took a reporter with him from the New York Times, and as soon as they found gold, he had this put into the papers that gold was found on this expedition that Custer was leading. Well, that rang the dinner bell for all the prospectors to come in, and then that caused war between the Sioux and the other Cheyenne and different Indians like that with us. So many different atrocities that we've committed against American Indians, mm-hmm. and we need to pray about those things, whether we might have had ancestors that were directly involved or indirectly involved. I say this to a lot of people: if we went back in time and lived during those times that our ancestors were back, we would carry the same, more than likely, the same attitudes and injustices toward those people that our ancestors did. Mm-hmm. So we would be just as guilty. And so we're not removed from that. And you had mentioned something during our break about why we should be asked for forgiveness for our ancestors. I mean, to a lot of people, that doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. But the bloodline, our bloodline coming down to us, and you look in the Bible and you'll see when they list generations in there by names and things like that, the bloodline and generations that you come from are very important to God. Mm-hmm. They're listed in there for a reason. Even when it talks about Noah, when God chose him to build the ark, and he looked at Noah and he said Noah was perfect in all his generations. Mm-hmm. And that, if you go back and do a study on that, what that means is there were so many people that Satan, with what had happened with the angels coming down, taking women as their wives, and what Satan was trying to do was destroy the DNA of mankind, because he knew the Savior was going to come through the seed of a woman. Mm-hmm. But Noah's bloodline was pure. Mm-hmm. It had not been tainted like that. Mm-hmm. And so there's a reason why God chose Noah, mm-hmm. because he had the plan, when on the ark and everything, that when they landed and all, then they would start multiplying again. It would be the human race that God had set here, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the bloodline is very important to God, and for us to be able to repent for those that came before us, the generations, it cleans our bloodline, mm-hmm. is what it does. Mm-hmm. So I invite you to do some studies on those type of things, and you'll finally understand why it's important for us to do that. But then we go on from talking about the atrocities against the Indians. We talk about the poor, how we have not taken the time to really address that through the churches. We leave that up to the government lots of times. That was never intended to be that way mm-hmm. by God. It's and you see people that, it's no surprise that even today we realize that with the so many of the black population, they lean on to the government for help and so forth. Mm-hmm. And it took the necessary, it took the father, the need for the father out of the family. Mm-hmm. Whether it be a black family or a white family, when they can count on their government and subsidies and different things like that, then the father just saw where he wasn't that important if the family was going to be taken care of, mm-hmm. by the government.
Okay. Just one truth that you're touching on that I think is a very important one for believers to remember is that Old and New Testament, God always causes people to be concerned about the poor, the disenfranchised, the have-nots, the people who are in need. And the church is always to have a big heart and one that's not just words, but actions to reach out to minister to the poor and to express the heart of God. And so that's, a great need for us to not, in other words, the people should not think, well, the government will take care of us. God is to be our source. And that's an important truth to look at. So, okay, well, and so basically, so reaching out to the poor is another one, an area where there's a need for the church to repent and seek the Lord's forgiveness then. And you mentioned specifically one, the great sin of our generation. Would you touch on that as well?
Right. You know, I'm 60 years old. And so there's so many of the generation that in 1973, and the way I put it in here, Pastor Joseph, is in the 1973, the church in this country, for the most part, save the Catholic Church, remained silent as the Supreme Court of the United States ruled in favor of allowing abortion to be legalized throughout our nation.
Mm-hmm.
Since that time, over 60 million children have been murdered while in their mother's womb.
Mm-hmm.
The math on that, if you're interested, comes to an average of 926,190 each year, which is 2,537 each day, or 105 each hour.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people don't understand is that is a blood sacrifice
that's
to
right.
Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back into the Bible and you read about Baal worship,
mm-hmm.
and how the women would sacrifice their children to Baal, which was an idol, an idol set up. It was really Satan.
Mm-hmm.
That's a blood sacrifice, and you
mm-hmm.
can call it pro-choice if you want to. It's just a nice little word that means that, you know, we're murdering our children
mm-hmm.
on the altar of Baal.
That's right.
In this day and time. And I praise God that you are taking a stance against that. And, I was involved with it's called CareNet Pregnancy Resource Centers,
mm-hmm.
and they're throughout our nation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they give free ultrasound. They give alternatives, to keep your baby and you want to put it up for adoption mm-hmm. or whatever. And I strongly, strongly suggest that you give financially to these places like that,
mm-hmm.
These pro-life organizations that are set up to stop abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be blessed by doing that.
That's exactly right. And, Red, I think of this just to kind of reemphasize the point you just made that, every believer has a part to play in helping to come against the tragedy of abortion and helping to end it. All of us have a voice. All of us have the opportunity to pray for the ending of abortion. But also, just like you said, not only should we pray, but we need to put feet on our prayers as well. Many of us need to give generously to ministries that are doing the work of reaching out to women who find themselves pregnant at a difficult time, supporting many great pro-life ministries that are out there that are helping to really minister the heart of God to help minister to people in those circumstances or to end abortion. So, again, a great challenge that you mentioned in the book. Every believer has a part to play. Red, our time is just about gone. Any final words you'd like to share insofar as why listeners really should try to hear the message of the book?
Well, I did want to say one more thing, that we know that we've just had a new Supreme Court justice appointed,
mm-hmm.
and she's conservative, and many people feel like that because of what's happened here in Alabama with our legislature on abortion, that this is going to go before the Supreme Court
mm-hmm.
again, and this time it will be overturned.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, then it's going to go back into the jurisdiction of each state can make their own decision.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't mean necessarily that abortion is going to end totally, but at least as a national, the United States, it won't be a law of the land anymore.
That's right.
But there are going to be states that you can still work and send money and support those organizations we just talked about.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. And so, when Roe v. Wade is overturned, of course, that will be a critically important milestone to undo the tragedy of it being passed back in 1973. So, well, Rhett, thank you again for being with us today. And again, thank you for just sharing your heart through the books, again, The George Washington Carver Effect, More Than Peanuts, A Prophecy, and Thank God for the Boll Weevil. Share once again how they can get the book.
available on Amazon.com and also through bookstores, including Barnes & Noble.
All right. Rhett, thank you so much, and keep up the great work serving the Lord and promoting the book as well, okay?
Thank you, and thank you for having me on your show.
All right. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. Again, we're challenging every listener. Please take time to get the book and learn more about the wonderful role model that the Lord gave us through the prayer life of George Washington Carver. I think it'll bless and encourage you a lot. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.